Hello again, Stuart and Jodie here. Welcome to this time of worship to those within our Carey Baptist Church family here in Moulton, but any who are listening online to this globally or wherever you may be. So before we start, let's commend this to God in prayer. Father God, we gather in your presence. And we know that you are with us and with each person listening online. And we pray that by your grace, your Holy Spirit would take the words that are said and anoint them and use them to speak and minister into each of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. Starting at verse 21, chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. And Jodie's going to come now and read that for us.
It's titled The Parable of the Unmerciful Servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him, began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart.
Thank you, Jodie, for that reading. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that as we reflect upon it and apply it to our lives, that your Holy Spirit would take these words, words of scripture and words that I say, and anoint them and use them to touch and speak into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've entitled this sermon, Forgiveness in Time of COVID, because I think we're all in need of forgiveness at the moment. Forgiveness was central to the life and ministry of Jesus, and much of his teaching revolved around forgiveness. We all need it, and we all need to spread it that it may flow into our lives and community and society today. As a culture, we can be very unforgiving at times. There doesn't seem to be much forgiveness on display in the political life of our nation at the moment, or in our relationship with other nations, but how desperately we all need forgiveness. Peter comes to Jesus in this incident and raises the issue of forgiveness and asks, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Now, Peter probably thought seven was a generous figure. And the rabbis at the time recommended you would forgive people three times, but not on the fourth time. So Peter may have expected to be commended for his generosity, for his forgiving spirit. But Jesus, as was his wont, tells a story about the unlimited nature of forgiveness. He starts off by saying, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times, or other translations say 70 times seven. Now, obviously, we're not to take a tally out and mark it off each time. And when we get to 490 or whatever the figure would be, then we've reached the maximum here. It's to be forgiveness without limits, without counting. And then Jesus tells this story, which is the best way to explain something. And with this story and this parable, he tells us about a king who's settling accounts with all his servants. And then he has a servant brought in to him who has a massive, humongous debt. It says in the NIV, 10,000 bags of gold, or in the Greek, 10,000 talents. And a talent was worth 20 years of an average day laborer's wages. So you're talking here of a massive, humongous sum, a bigger debt than the regions in which they lived in Palestine of the time, or we could think of it today like the debt of a small nation. So it's an amount or a figure that is impossible to be repaid by one person. And the servant is going to get thrown into jail because he cannot pay, along with his wife and children, to repay the debt. And he's obviously overwhelmed by this situation. Verse 26, he falls down on his knees before his master. He says, be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. Now, that's not very likely at all. It's physically impossible. If he had thousands of lifetimes, he wouldn't be able to repay that debt. Never mind just one lifetime. But we see the reaction of the master in verse 27. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. So he cancels the debt and sets him free. You'd think the servant would be delighted by that outcome. But right away, when the servant goes out into the streets, he finds one of his fellow servants who owed him, in verse 28, it says, a few hundred silver coins or a few hundred denarii. A denarius was a usual daily wage. So it's something that could be paid back with time. It might have to be paid back in installments, but it's a repayable debt and a minuscule, is such a word, fraction of the debt that he is or has already been forgiven. And we see his reaction to him. He grabs him and begins to choke him and says, pay back what you owe me. And then his fellow servant falls to his knees and begs him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. He uses exactly the same words that the servant said to the master in the first situation. So the same words that he has spoken are now used back to him, but he doesn't respond in the same way. In verse 30, it says he refuses and went off and had the man thrown into prison to pay the debts. And we see that his fellow servants are outraged by what has happened, and they sneak off and tell the master what has happened. And then the master calls in the servant and says, you wicked servant, I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you? And then we have some words which I wouldn't recommend taking literally, where it says, in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back everything he owed. In the ancient world, it was common practice to torture people to make sure that they said any money that they had hidden away or whatever. But I'm not suggesting here that God is like a torturer, or what sort of image or picture do we have of God? It's a sort of exaggeration using hyperbole in the storytelling, and not to be, you shouldn't build a whole lot of doctrine around this little verse. But it does express the seriousness of the situation. And Jesus closes his story off by saying, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each one of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." So we see how we treat others affects our relationship with God. And we are like the first servant. We have been forgiven an unpayable debt. But does that affect how we relate to others in our lives? In these strange times, we need to forgive each other for the multiple ways we will and do upset each other. With all the added frustrations of this time and the stresses and strains of trying to get the church ready for opening, we as deacons have had lots of extra meetings on Zoom. And it has been a difficult time for us all. And it's been difficult for you wanting to come back to church. And some of you will be champing at the bit and be frustrated at the slow nature of our process. Others perhaps are more cautious. But all of us are frustrated by the situations that we live in, and it's easy to lose patience and love and forgiveness with each other. And when we get back, we'll need to forgive each other, and you'll need to forgive me when it isn't the way it used to be. And as we find our way forward in this new normal by trial and error and making mistakes, we will need to learn again forgiveness and forbearance with each other, and to remember how much we, each one of us, has been forgiven by God, and let that forgiveness flow through us to others. We are all tired, worn down, burnt out, fearful about the future due to this virus. And we need to remind ourselves of the massive, unpayable debt of forgiveness that God has made available to us in and through Jesus and the cross and all that he has done for us. And we need to learn from our bad role models about what we don't want to be like. We don't want to be like that first servant in the story and be miserly and mean and cruel with our fellow servants, because that's what we all are, fellow servants of God, trying to serve God. And if we forget how much we have been forgiven, we can start to be mean and cruel with our fellow servants and demand what is ours by right. With the first servant, we see that that forgiveness of the debt didn't change him. Has our forgiveness that we have received from God, has that changed us and the way we relate to others when they upset, offend, or sin against us? The words of verse 33 ring down through the years to us. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had upon you? We have received that mercy and forgiveness from God, and we need to let that mercy flow through us to others. It isn't easy. And we will fail and fall down in this. But we need to go back to basics and realize the mammoth, unpayable debt we have been forgiven. And then it will be easier to be merciful with our brothers and sisters. when we are called to forgive not 7 times, not 77 times, not 77 times 7, but when we learn to stop counting altogether. Let us pray. Father, help us to learn afresh how much we have been forgiven. All our sins, past, present, and future, have been dealt with at the cross and through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And we have received that gift. Help us to be generous in our love and forgiveness of others. When people let us down, when people annoy us, when people fail us, help us not to demand our rights or to be harsh with them, but to learn afresh and to appropriate afresh your mercy and forgiveness. And may your mercy and forgiveness flow through us like channels of love and mercy and forgiveness, that people can see in us your forgiveness and can see the transformation your forgiveness has worked in our lives. And may it point to you and your forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Margaret Williams, one of our church members, is now going to lead us in some prayers of intercession.
Almighty God, we come before you with a sense of weakness, uncertainty, insecurity. Our world seems out of joint. Restrictions, separation, limitations can be very frustrating. It makes us think of your people of old, taken into exile in Babylon. We know it was much worse for them, but we sympathise with them as they lamented the loss of homeland and temple worship. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land, they said. We miss singing together. But we remember how much they learned during that time, and how rich was their experience of your presence and the development of their understanding, especially through the prophets. May we, like them, hear you saying, "Comfort ye, O comfort ye, my people." They learned of your motherly tenderness. They experienced the reality of your presence with them and the way you carried and supported them, in sharp contrast to the foreign idols who needed to be carted around. They learned about worship that did not depend on temple ritual. And when eventually they were allowed to take the long journey back home, they learned your tender shepherding. God, our Father, our Mother, our Shepherd, we crave your tender care, your presence and comfort. Lord God, they learned a sense of your plan and purpose for them. They were able to see history in a new perspective and receive hope for the future. They learned about servant leadership and developed faith in a coming Messiah. May we too learn and develop during this time and see the way forward to new ways of being your church. We crave your blessing so that we may be a blessing to others. We may feel opportunities have diminished, but your mission never stops. Open our eyes to all you are doing, to every manifestation of your kingdom. Show us how you would have us engage with your work in our world. We think of those close to us, friends, neighbours, family. Everyone seems to be facing challenges and difficulties. May we offer support that is wise, appropriate, and reflect your love. In your mercy, give us new ways to serve your purposes. The exilic prophets realized you would make their people a light to the nations, so that your salvation would reach the ends of the earth. We pray you will save us from narrow nationalism, so that our concerns will be for the health and healing of the whole world. We think of our BMS missionaries who are chafing at the bit just now because they can't be with those they feel called to serve. We think especially of our link missionaries still in this country. We pray they may know your guidance about their future. We pray for those still working elsewhere in the world and sometimes facing great risk. Our world seems to be divided into those bearing heavy burdens, considerable risk, and a large workload, and those frustrated with the discomfort of not being able to share those loads. We think of those of our numbers working in hospitals. We think too of staff at Bethany in this position. And thinking of Bethany, we pray for Mabel celebrating her 100th birthday this next Thursday. Lord God, we are anxious about the effects of the coronavirus on this country, because that is what dominates our news. But our hearts ache for other countries where reporting is sparse, medical facilities and equipment inadequate. We think of Yemen, where doctors are not being paid, and where many are losing their lives. Civil war and hunger are making the situation unbearably horrific. We long for peace to come to this war-torn country, for political will to bring it about, for aid agencies to be able to help. And we have seen again this week just how desperate is the situation for refugees, like those burnt out of their meagre encampment on Lesbos. Oh, that they would find safety and compassion and hospitality. O Lord, hear our cry. With our sense of powerlessness and in our weakness, we wait on God. We do so in solidarity with all who are weak and powerless too. That, as the prophet said, we may rise up on wings like eagles, that we may run and not be weary, that we may walk and not faint. Amen.
Thank you, Margaret, for your prayers, and we'll close now with a blessing. Mercy, peace, and love in fullest measure to you whom God has called, who live in the love of God the Father, and are kept safe for the coming of Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Thank you for joining with us for this time of worship. hopefully in the coming weeks we'll be able to get back into church, but we're reviewing that week on week. But we will continue with these recordings for the foreseeable future. So either way, see you online. Go well. God bless.